Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
We're glad you're with us on Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond a life of mediocrity to one of victory. And that happens with God's presence in our lives. And often we find that presence to be most real and directive through prayer. This is a story about prayer that you're about to hear, a testimony of the power of prayer to move people, even a whole church, even a whole community. We have with us Dee Duke. Dee is the pastor of a church in Jefferson, Oregon, and prayer has revitalized his ministry and empowered his church, and others are coming to learn about this from around the country. A church that had 200 members grew to some 1,400, which is about half the population of Jefferson. And so if that happened there, what might happen in your area as you learn and dive more into the principles that Dee Duke will bring to us today? Welcome, Dee.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being on. So tell us a little about your story. It sounds like you came from a background maybe on the farm, right? And you got called to ministry. Is that kind of how things started?
Yep, I was a dairy farmer.
And then you ended up in the church. How did you go from one to the other?
Well, while I was farming, I wanted to get some Bible school training so I could serve in my home church. And so I went to about 3 hours away from where I grew up, go to Bible college, and one of the requirements was I'd be involved in a church in some kind of service, Christian service assignment. So I discovered they were going to start a church. This was back in 1973. And so we got involved in the church plant, starting it, and I was the youth group leader and helped and did, you know, whatever I could. And while I was going to school, and then I graduated and went back to the farm. And shortly after that, the founding pastor resigned and left, and the church was struggling, and they were going to close. And several people I knew asked if we might consider coming back, and I kind of laughed at the idea. I didn't. I was a farmer. That's all I wanted to do. And, but it kept kind of nagging at me that maybe that's what God wanted me to do. And I asked my dad, I was partners with him on the dairy, and he thought I should go give it a try. He said, give it a try for a year and see what happens. He said, sometimes you don't know until you try something. So I did. And October 76, and, been here ever since.
Okay. So as I understand your story, you were pastoring, and it wasn't working out real well until something changed at a prayer summit. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, the church would grow, and then I was such a awkward. I didn't have any people skills. I was very much of an introvert and shy, and I would offend people not knowing it and not realizing it, what I was doing, just simply because I didn't like to talk. So that went on for 13 years, just kind of up and down, up and down. So by 1988, I was totally depressed and burnout and angry with God that he hadn't blessed me for leaving the farm. And so then there was an invitation given. Joe Aldridge was president of Multnomah Bible College for the Salem area pastors to go on a 4-day prayer summit to the coast to pray for revival for the state of Oregon. And so I went. It was kind of just an opportunity to get away more than anything. And while I was there, I just realized that I'd worked as like a dog to try to make the church grow, but I hadn't didn't do much praying, hardly ever prayed, 15 minutes a day, maybe at the top. And so while I was there, I made a commitment to be devoted to prayer, I made 7 goals in regards to prayer, and one of them was to pray for everybody in the church by name every week. So I started doing that and praying with my wife and started preaching on prayer and started prayer meetings. Pretty soon we had 25 prayer meetings a week going, and God just turned everything around.
25 prayer meetings for what was then a church of what, maybe 250?
It wasn't that big. It probably were running just a shade over 100 at that time.
Yeah. So there were smaller meetings of 3 to 5, but it sounds like sounds like most of the people were going to these meetings. How did you motivate people? I mean, it's hard in the average church to get just one little meeting going, you know, and how'd you motivate them?
Well, I came back and, first sermon, I kind of repented publicly of my prayerlessness and the lack of prayer in our church, and just said, you know, we've enjoyed bad-mouthing the people that we've left and being critical of them, but I said, everything we've gone through for the last 10 years has been my fault. And because of the lack of prayer, and I said, I don't know about any of you, but I'm going to be down here every morning at 6 o'clock, and I'm going to be down here every evening and pray for an hour. And if anybody wants to join me, fine. And so the first night, the whole church showed up, kind of went from there.
So it was basically a church-wide movement because you were deeply moved by God. And
yeah.
Would you say, Dee, that it's important if a church is going to be a praying church that they have a praying pastor?
Yeah. You know, the devil really, really fights against it. And so you got to have some leadership that just continually recruits and preaches and teaches. And I call it my spiritual gift of nagging.
Mm.
Just to continually to remind people, to encourage people, and just all the time. We're in the middle of a 5-day prayer event right now. One of the things that we do 4 times a year is to have prayer. We pray from 5 to 10 in the morning and 5 to 10 in the evening, Monday through Friday. We just started this morning. Mm. And this particular one is before Easter, and so we're praying for everybody. Writes down at least 10 names of people they want to invite to the Easter service, and so we spend the time praying for them. We do the same thing before Christmas, and then we have another one in February for our missions, foreign missions, and then one in the fall for all the ministries of the church, where we just kind of devote 10 hours a day, 5 days to prayer. We'll have 25 to 50 people every hour praying.
So basically, during those 10 hours on the average day, there are separate groups praying. It's not like every one person's committing to the full 10, but typically each one commits to one. Is that how it works?
Correct. Yeah. Like this morning, we started at 5:15 and quit at 6. Then we started again at 6:15 and quit at 7, and then 7:15 to 10. And then that 15-minute break, people come and go.
Mm.
And so I encourage people to make a commitment to an hour a day, 2 hours a day, whatever they can, make happen. So people will come before work, and then this evening at 5, people will come. Some will stay for the full 5 hours tonight. Others will come for an hour. So it really varies.
Okay, so your church then began to really grow when you took prayer seriously. Tell us more of that story.
The summit was in February, and so I came home, and I preached for 3 months straight on prayer. And then we did our first prayer event. Was just before Easter that year, and I think I don't remember now, but I think it was in April. And so we did a 10 days of prayer before Easter, and we had 400 people show up for our Easter service, which was, I mean, everybody was just totally blown away by that, the experience of the prayer we did, and then the results during the Easter service. So we just kind of started growing. That was 1989 when I went to the summit. The next year, 1990, we had a prayer retreat. We rented a facility and a bunch of people. I think it was close to 70 that went off to this prayer retreat. We were there for, I think, 3 or 4 days. And we wrote out what we call our 2020 vision. That was the goals we had for our church for the year 2020, all the way up until that point. And one of our goals was to plant a daughter church in the year 2000 and to plant one every 2 years after that, which was quite amazing for the size we were that kind of came up, as well as some building goals, growth goals, mission goals. So at this point, we've planted 8 daughter churches in the area, and also we've also planted 22 churches in Sierra Leone and West Africa, gone over there and started churches and built schools, and so God is really blessed. It's been a lot of fun.
I read in one article you wrote that your church grew to, as I mentioned at the opening, to about 1,400 in attendance. Is that generally right?
That would be regular attenders. We average about 1,000, not quite 1,000 on weekends now with 3 services.
Mm-hmm. But this in a town that has a population of just a couple thousand, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that, I mean, the churches obviously having a real impact, but you would say it's not the church as it were, it's God answering prayer.
Right.
It's just, yeah, it's just fantastic story. And now you have trainings in prayer. Is that right?
Yes. We do a seminar here annually, 3-day seminar on prayer. We have about 200 that come every year, pastors, church leaders in the area. And then I right now I'm mentoring sort of a mentoring accountability relationship with 60 pastors in groups of 10. And so I have a group of pastors here every Thursday from noon to 4. We share and talk, hold each other accountable to our goals that regard to prayer, mostly praying for everybody at our church every week, praying with our wives, teaching on prayer, having various prayer events. So when guys want to grow in prayer, then they'll kind of commit to this. And so there's a weekly accountability, and then we meet about every 2 months for 4 hours as a group at our church.
So describe to us how it is that God moves through prayer. For example, is it that you've learned that when you spend time listening and talking, that God begins speaking to you and giving you visions, dreams, ideas of things you never would have thought of, and you ask for it, and you just wait, and you watch God do things that humans can't do? Is that a okay summary? Put it in your own words. Tell us a little more of what the journey's been like.
You know, the word ideas, kind of what we use. People use the word vision, various things, but we just kind of just say that God gives us some ideas of things, and then we talk about it, and then we write it down as a goal, a commitment to something we're going to pursue, whether it's planting a church or taking a mission trip to Sierra Leone, things, and then we pray about it in the sense of the resources and the strength and the energy and how we can make it happen. So the key thing of our praying would be evangelism. That's our kind of our focus. And so we pray what Jesus commanded, that he would thrust out workers, laborers into the harvest, and that we would, he would thrust that us out, and then he would give us opportunity. And so the church planting we've done, the ministry we've done with other churches and helping them, the outreach events, the foreign mission stuff, it's all been sort of birthed in prayer. Individuals will come up with ideas. We had a couple on our church. He just is a maintenance guy at a school, but they decided to start a school in Liberia. Now their school has about 1,000 kids in it, and they pay for the teacher's salaries. They pay for the facilities. They raise all the funds for it. They take a trip over there once a year to kind of see what's going on and do it, but they manage the whole school from here via phone and do all the fundraising for it and support the school. And they don't make any money to speak of, but they've done that, and it was an idea that was generated in a prayer meeting.
So it seems that when we bring our ideas to God, God begins to give us his ideas. Does that sound accurate?
Yep.
It's just amazing. You all are having an impact. God is through you in your prayers right there in Jefferson, Oregon. But have you heard stories of things spreading, growing in other parts of the country, other nations? You're already mentioning Sierra Leone. Obviously, there's a great impact there. Other things you might report just to encourage us?
The seminar has had a fairly large impact with people that come from all over. And then so they go back to their churches and personally pray and then teach prayer and get things. And it's lots of stories of churches growing, becoming healthy, conflict resolving. That was our first thing that we started to focus on was 1 Thessalonians 3, where we Paul prayed, I pray that God would cause you to abound in love for each other and for all men. And so we prayed that God would cause us to abound in love for each other and for all men. And that's become our main prayer. And because of the disunity we had here, the conflicts and the arguments and all that went with that. And so there's quite a few churches that will come that are, in various levels of disunity, and they'll take that back. And the healing they experience, the unity that they have, we get regular stories about that. Mm. And I have, I think, 12 guys that are in sort of a long-range accountability where we do everything by email. A couple pastors in Arizona, missionary in France, a couple pastors in Georgia, one in Florida, one in Idaho. And so we all interact via email, and they all pray for everyone in their church every week by name. They teach on and preach on prayer. They have prayer meetings. And so we interact, and each week we talk about what we're doing and various prayer requests and challenges that we're having. And some of the guys will have send a prayer request to the others that they're going to hire staff or something. And so we pray for each other. And the stories they tell about their churches are always fun to hear about God's working.
I think there are a lot of us listening who say, we've tried like you did. We've tried in our own strength. We've seen some successes and a lot of failures. And when it comes down to it, it all kind of feels like a failure. You came to a place of telling your whole church, I failed. Instead of blaming other people, instead of pointing the finger, you looked to yourself and you humbled yourself and you said, but God's got solutions if we just ask him. Is that how you might describe the turning point for your church and for other churches you've seen where things have turned around? They found unity once again. They found power. They found excitement and joy and love for each other and growth began to happen. Is that how it typically turns or what has been your experience?
Yeah. That's, you know, if the pastor will lead, will personally pray and his own prayer life becomes, he becomes devoted to prayer, especially for his church. And so that's my big sort of emphasis, that I'm the pastor, so my number one responsibility is to intercede for everybody in the church every week. When I started, it wasn't that many people. Now it's a lot, but I still devote a couple of hours a day interceding for everybody in the church. I've got everybody's picture, and I put it in there, and then I just scroll through that, and I have prayer requests underneath picture and each picture, and so I spend time every day going through that. It makes a huge difference in, I think, in my preaching, my leadership, just interceding for people.
What an encouragement. What a challenge. I think everyone listening with me is probably feels both encouraged and challenged. And so when the Sierra Leone ministry started popping open, were you surprised when God started giving you those ideas from heaven? And it's like, God, you can't be saying this, can you? Or was it just natural?
Well, what happened was, we went to Vietnam back in 1995 to go over and just prayer walk, read some books on prayer walking. And because prayer was becoming such a big deal to me, we decided to go over there and try that into a closed country. And so we did, and it just turned into a phenomenal trip. And for those who went and the experiences we had and everything, and came back, and one of the people who went on the trip shared their testimony at a missions conference up in Portland, Oregon. And there were some missionaries there from Senegal who invited us to come over there and do some prayer walking. They said things were so dead and there was nothing happening. And so we had a team go over there. It was right when the war in Sierra Leone and Liberia was at its peak. The Civil War, if you're familiar with that, the Blood Diamond movie. So it was a refugee from the war that had fled to Senegal, and we connected with him and became his friend. And then everybody went home, and then he emailed and said he'd found his mom who had gotten shot and asked if we could send some money for her to get go to the hospitals. We did. And then he said, there's this town I'm in. There's no church here. I'd start a church if you'd send me $100. So we did, and then he did it again, and then by then we're kind of wondering whether he's for real or if he's just kind of squeezed money out of us. So we decided to take a trip over there. There were four of us just to see what was going on. It was 2002, the year after the war was over. So things were still real kind of dicey, and the country was totally annihilated. But we went over there, and we started two more churches, and then the fellow, his name was Saw Joseph, he and I made a goal to plant 100 churches there before I died. And we started going over there 3 or 4 times a year, different teams from our church. So now we've got a major ministry there, 22 churches and 22 schools. We've got a piece of property that's sort of our headquarters, and we're going to start a Bible college and a bunch of good stuff happening.
Wow. You think if you hadn't gone to that prayer summit all those years ago that none of this would have happened?
No, I don't think so. I'd probably be back to farming.
Wow. Well, you're farming souls and you're out there, you're praying for laborers, but you're out there working the soil and reaping a great harvest. What an incredible story. Dee, can you give any words of encouragement to those of us listening? Some are pastors, some not, some don't even maybe go to church, you know, but your life is an encouragement, but put some more words around it. Can you give some kind of some summary words to encourage us to be a people of prayer?
I think the key thing that I tell people now is to, when I was 50, I'm 66 now. When I turned 50, I was super overweight and I had all kinds of health problems. And so I decided to start running, and I'd never run before. And I ran one lap in our gym, and I remember thinking I was going to have a heart attack. Mm. It was 20 laps to make a mile. So it was no distance at all. But the next night I ran 2 laps. The next night I ran 3 laps, and then I built up to 5 miles, and then I ran a marathon. It took me a year just, you know, adding a little bit, and I lost a bunch of weight and got healthy. And so I kind of tell people to do that with their prayer life. to pick a time and to pray faithfully, the same time, same place, every day, and then add another day, and add another day, and add another day, and then take the 5 minutes a day and build it up to 10, and then to 15, and just build your prayer life like that systematically, not randomly, arbitrarily, but like a date with God where you do it on a regular basis, and then have a prayer notebook where you put requests in, intercede for people, and pretty soon you'll be up to an hour a day, and that's kind of what I encourage people to aim for, and to have people that they pray for, lost people, and people in their church, if they're going to go to the church, the pastor for sure, pray with their wife or their husband, pray for the kids, and it's amazing the changes you see happen when you faithfully pray. And it takes importunity. You have to just keep at it. There's very few prayers you can answer just the first time you pray, and ask and ask and keep on asking, and pretty soon you see these breakthroughs happen.
You know, it sounds so simple, and it kind of is, isn't it? It's not complicated.
It is.
It's really deepening a relationship with a living God who has all the power to run the universe and to build his kingdom. And we just need to learn to get in that relationship with him where we're trusting him. He said to become like children to enter the kingdom. And let's understand that a little more, entering the kingdom. It seems to me it's about more than just saying a prayer to go to heaven somewhere in a sweet by and by, but that God comes into our world and he builds his ministry in us and through us. Does that make sense?
Yeah. One of the things, and you just mentioned it in passing there, but I was so intimidated in the early years by my lack of people skills, poor communication skills, lack of education. I just, everything sort of intimidated me. And I remember thinking, you know, it doesn't take any education, doesn't take much intelligence, much of anything to be devoted to prayer. Anybody can do it. But the result is God begins to work and bless. And the five things that I focus on is, first of all, strength. It's the most often prayed prayer in the Bible, is asking God for his strength to be able to endure, is to persevere, to work hard, doing it with his strength. Second is joy, in spite of circumstances. God loves to give joy. He depend on him and ask for it repeatedly. The third is peace, peace that passes all comprehension in spite of circumstances and events. The fourth is wisdom. If anybody lacks wisdom, they can ask of God, who gives generously. And I just define that as knowing what to do, what to say in any situation that he puts me in. And then the fifth one is opportunity, open doors. And I tell people there's a lot of things we don't know what God's will is, but those five things God always answers. He always gives strength when we ask. He always gives joy when we ask. He always gives peace. He always gives wisdom, and he'll always open doors and give us opportunity to minister and to serve if we ask. And so I just major on those, and it's amazing what happens when you have his strength, his joy, his peace, you know what to say, what to do in any situation, and you can depend on him to open doors, and you look for them, the opportunities, the divine appointments that he provides.
Dee Duke, thank you for taking time out of your busy day as you guys are in this 10 hours a day prayer mode right now. You have blessed us. We praise God for the testimony of your life and your church and the impact around the world, and pray that we can be part of it as we implement some of the things you taught us here. In closing, if somebody wants to learn more, maybe they want to come out to one of your seminars, they want to read some things you've written, where do they go? How do they learn more?
They go to our church website. That's probably the best place. We've kind of put the sermons together that I've preached on prayer there, and also you can get details about the seminar in January on prayer. You know, there's pastors who will read that, and they will call or email and want to get involved in this accountability relationship that I have, so they could sign up for that. But almost all the information they can get on our church website, which is jeffersonbaptistchurch.org.
Thank you, Dee. Thank you so much.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com, where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.